recite this with me, if you would. We're going to read the Lord's Prayer. I'm going to speak a couple of weeks on prayer as the Lord leads me, and probably nothing you've ever not heard before. But we all know this by heart. Let's read it together. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Father, we love you tonight, Lord. We thank you for your presence, Lord. I don't ever want to take it for granted. I don't ever come in here and just assume, God, that you're going to show up. Lord, I don't want to ever take for granted your presence. Lord, minister to us tonight as we minister unto you, Lord. Father, I've enjoyed every song that has been sung. I've enjoyed every praise that has been lifted up. I've enjoyed the worship and the adoration of your people. And Lord, now prepare us to receive the word of God and touch me, your servant, God, one more time. I gotta have it, Lord. I need this touch, this anointing, to be able to preach and to speak words, God, that you ordain. Lord, we bless you and we praise you tonight. Amen, amen. God bless you as you're seated in the presence of the Lord. As your pastor, I always just so appreciative of our musicians and praise team and choir and everybody that does to help lead us into the worship of the Most High God. But I appreciate the way this church worships. You know, we heard another witness. You hear this quite often when we have people from outside here. You hear it, the group that sang Sunday night. He told us how blessed we were, amen, to have what we have here. And sometimes, you know, I don't know if you've ever bought a new vehicle. You're really happy about it. You're proud of it to start off with. But after you've had it a year or so, and you're still glad you got it, but it don't quite have that. You know what I'm saying? You know, just don't quite have it, and we kind of take it for granted. You know, somebody say, "Oh, that's a nice vehicle." Oh yeah, appreciate it. You hadn't really thought of it. We're blessed here, amen. We're a blessed church, and it's so glad to have you and be back with you tonight, amen. And so we've talked about fasting and praying. I want to reiterate again what Brother Larry said. We're going to begin this 21-day fast on March the 8th, and we'll go through March the 28th will be the last date. We'll start the revival on the 29th of March, that Sunday morning. And during that time, those 21 days, the doors of the church will be open. And I'll start putting it in when we get closer to that date. We're getting close anyway. But we'll be open a certain amount of time during every day. And so you can come out and pray during that time period. Anytime you want to pray, it's not going to be organized. It'll simply be the sanctuary will be open. Come and pray. Pray as long as you'd like, you know, it will be during the day. So, and the fasting, whatever you can do, if you want to sign up, if you don't want to sign up, just fast with us. We're coveting together as the body of believers, and we're going to fast and pray, and we're going to seek God for a great move of His Spirit. Now, again, as I told the church Monday night, we were gathered for prayer. You know, God sends revival. It's not something we can program. We can plan this series of meetings that we're going to have. We can have an evangelist come in, but only God sends revival. So I want you to pray that God will send us revival. And how many of you know we need to pray more? Amen. Somebody said, "Preacher, I'm praying for you." I said, "Well, thank you. I need it. I need the prayer, and you need to practice." Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go back to verse. We'll go back again with the Lord's Prayer, and then we're going to go over to Luke chapter 11. Let's read it again. You can just follow along this time. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as it is in heaven, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen and amen. I love that prayer. And when we pray it and we recite it like that, we're not just doing it for vain repetition, or we're praying that prayer and believing that prayer and asking God to do that. Now, let's everybody, if you will, turn with me to Luke chapter 11. He's going to have it on the screen. And I want to preach a little while or talk a little while about this subject. Lord, teach us to pray. Now, I want to say something here. This particular passage of Scripture could be at the same time as written by Luke. It could be at the same time after the Sermon on the Mount as it was in Matthew's Gospel. We won't go all there and spend a lot of time there. But I want to say this, that the disciples heard the greatest sermon ever preached. How many of you know they heard the greatest preacher that ever preached? Nobody. I don't care who you've seen on TV or how they stir the congregation or how many crowds that they have and how long they've been preaching. I think of Billy Graham, the millions of people that he touched over his ministry, and the how many untold thousands that come to the Lord and so forth and so on. And I can think of a lot of great preachers who have impacted my life. But let me tell you something. Nobody ever spake like this man spake. No man ever preached like Jesus did. And let me say that again. Nobody you've ever heard could hold a light to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ when he preached. But you understand that when the disciples came to him, when we read this, they don't say, Lord, teach us to preach. They say, Lord, teach us to pray. They don't say, Lord, teach us to sing the lead in the praise team. They simply said, Lord, teach us to pray. They didn't say, Lord, let me be the head Sunday school teacher or this or that or the great evangelist or an apostle or let me be the greatest disciple. None of these things. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. You ever thought about that? What an amazing request that these men are asking the Lord. You know why? Because they saw his life. All through his life, through that ministry that they were with him, he always got alone to pray. And I've heard many preachers say this, and I've said amen every time I've ever heard it. If the Lord got alone to pray, then that means that you and I ought to get alone to pray. I pray with my wife, I pray with my daughter, I pray with you. We pray in these altars. We pray corporately in this church all the time. We have some wonderful, I'm so thankful Sunday morning. We've seen such a stirring since this new year started. Not that we didn't see a stirring last year, but the new year just started off so good here for us in the services. And Sunday morning, there were people lingered in the altar praying at 1:00 in the afternoon. Wow, I didn't say at Boss Hogs at 1:00 in the afternoon, praying. I was at Boss Hogs at 2:00 in the afternoon, amen. But we were lingering and praying and seeking the face of the Lord. And so if the Lord has to get away, the Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man, God in the flesh, if he got along to pray, then we're going to have to get along to pray. And understand that the disciples, I always looked at this passage, and it's just come to me more in these last times that I've looked at it. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. Now, if you're like me and you've been in revivals and you've been in great services and you've been stirred by great sermons and teachings over the years, there's something that happens in all of us at certain times in meetings that we have, revival meetings, great awakening, spiritual renewals, and everything. We make vows and promises to God that we really mean when we say it, but oftentimes afterwards we slide back and we fall back on that. I know it's not good to make vows, and the Bible said that don't make a vow if you're not going to keep it. But how many of us have ever been in revival services, have been somewhere, heard a message on prayer, and said, you know what, I'm going to really start praying like I never have. I've done it. But I can tell you something right now, if you're not praying, if you don't have a devotional time, a time alone with God, and you say, well, Brother Bateman, from this night forward, I'm going to start praying 2 hours a day, you probably won't. You're about as apt to pray, start praying 2 hours a day as you are running in the Olympics tomorrow. Because you've got to acclimate yourself to this. Yes, you do. You just don't up and say, well, you know what? I'm going to pray an hour a day. I'm going to pray 2 hours a day. You know where you need to start? Let me salute everybody here that has, I mean this from the bottom of my heart. If you're one of these people in this church and you pray every day, you've got a time that you spend alone with God. It is part of who you are and what you are. It's a part of your spiritual discipline. It's a part of everything, the very fiber of your being. I salute you. I honor you tonight. I'm not being funny tonight. I mean that. Because I'm telling you right now, if that's not you, then you need to ascribe. You need to yearn. You need to yield to that. You need to get into a place where there is a systematic time that you spend with the Lord every single day. Come on and say amen. This is the bread and butter. This is the where the rubber meets the road in Christianity. So many of us have heard for years and years and years that we must pray. But the disciples, those that were with the Lord for 3.5 years of the greatest ministry known to mankind, this one man shaped the history of this world, and it has, we're still talking about it today. And the disciples were such in awe of this man, they said, Lord, teach us how to pray. And I'm going to tell you something, that praying is not glamorous. Praying is done behind the scenes in prayer closets all over the world by some of the most unknown people that you'll ever, you know, a person that's a prayer warrior, he's not going to walk around, he or she's not going to walk around with a badge on them. That person has yielded themselves, has disciplined themselves over the years, growing in the Lord. And I didn't come here to beat you over the head. I'm just here to tell you, if you do not have a time in your day as a part of your life that you spend in prayer, you need to start. I wish I'd have got more than 4 amens. The disciples said, Lord, they didn't ask to teach us, Lord, teach me how to sing. Man, I love singing. Y'all know I do. I wish I had a better voice than I do. I love to break out in song. I sing myself happy right by myself when I'm by myself. And I tell you some songs, and when Sister Ellen plays some songs on the piano, sometimes during the offering, and she'll play something, and just like tonight, I wanted to break right out and go to singing that thing and tear it up, and I probably would have tore it. But the disciples didn't say, teach us to sing. You know, did you get this? When the disciples went to him, they didn't say, Lord, show us how, teach us how to do miracles. They didn't say, teach us how to do signs and wonders. They said, Lord, teach us how to pray. And I want that to be our prayer tonight as a church. Again, whatever, when we talked about the prayer and fasting that we're doing, whatever you can do and give to the Lord, you do it, and God will honor that. But maybe it will springboard some of us who's never had a systematic prayer life to begin one. Maybe something will ignite in some of us that will. Now let me say this for you, boy. I'm up here 3 steps up. Yeah, 3 steps up. Like I'm on some kind of level that you're not. Listen, I need to pray more than I pray. I'm going to be transparent here. I need to pray more. Sometimes I get so busy, and being busy in ministry is not an excuse not to pray. I can be the busiest preacher out. Oh, I was here and I was there. And, you know, just the other day I was in Hyde County at a Bible study. And later on that day I was in New Bern at the hospital. And then later on again I was in Williamson. Later that night I was all over the place. All of it was connected to ministry. Well, the last part was technically maybe. I'm going to tell you where I was. You'll just have to guess. But it was connected to ministry. There was folks from the church there. I'll leave it at that. So I can say, you know, boy, I'm running around doing this and doing that. And even my studies you preachers, you know what I'm talking about. We have to prepare. But there's a preparation that you do in word and study and meditating on the word of God. But there's also a time where you have got to steal away and to pray and get the heart of God and to hear and get the ear of God. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Does everybody know that God still speaks if we'll take the time to listen? You know, when you say that God speaks to you, some people will look at you like you're crazy, but they can look at me like they're crazy if they want to. I know that God speaks to me. And I tell you, one of the greatest ways that he can speak to us, when we will have a systematic time separated unto him so that we can spend time praying with God. And I've heard this all my life. I said tonight you wouldn't hear anything you've never heard. But how many people, even, I wouldn't ask you to raise your hand. I'm not taking a survey tonight. How many people in here tonight have a time every day dedicated to spending time praying unto the Lord? The disciples' request. Verse 1. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. See, I was leaving the school this morning. I dropped Anik off at school this morning. I was heading back here, and in the medium there, at the road from Bath turns into 264. Is that 90? What is that? 90, 99? Whatever it is. All right, y'all confusing me. Stop. Amen. But there was a sign advertising, a political sign, and it was for Pete Buttigieg. 2020, homosexual who is a possible Democratic nominee for president. Let that sink in just a minute. How did we get here? Dear God. And I saw that sign, and you know, the mischievous part of me wanted to pull the wheel off this road and run over it. And so every sign y'all see run over, y'all say, my preacher got it. No, but I am going to resist that temptation. Can I tell you, though, when I read what the disciples say here after they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Now, I want you to think, I preach a lot on the kingdom of God. I did some since I've been here about God's kingdom, his power being manifested on the earth today. And we've seen souls saved, lives touched, demons cast out, people set free from all kind of addiction. When the kingdom of God comes and it manifests on the earth, then we see all these wonderful things, the churches in revival, all of this. But you know something? This has a future component to it. When you get sick and tired of this old world that we live in, Romans chapter 8 talks about the whole creation groaning. You understand that? Even nature desires one more time to be recreated and done all over again because of the effects of sin. And even us, we groan, the Bible says in Romans 8. For that adoption, for that new body, because we live in a sin-sick world, a mess that we're living in. Hear me tonight. And so when we pray, not only, Lord, your kingdom come in power now, but we pray, God, we want to see your kingdom come when you sit upon the throne, amen, of eternity. And we're in a glorified body, and the devil and he's gone. He's no longer, he's in the lake of fire, and sin is put down in rebellion, and the Lord rules and reigns. Lord, thy kingdom come. John the Revelator ended the Bible when he said, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. We groan within ourselves. We can never, that's why we can't get so attached to this world. This world is wicked. We don't want any part of this world. And so they pray, Lord, your kingdom come now, but also we're praying for that future glory. Oh, he's going to descend from heaven. He's going to call us back, call the rapture of the church up, and then after that, the seven-year tribulation, he's going to come down and sit on the Mount of Olives, touch down on the Mount of Olives. He's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years, and after that 1,000 years, the devil is loose for a season, a short rebellion. Then he's going to put that rebellion down, the devil and all of his angels and every wicked person going to be cast in the lake of fire, and King Jesus is going to sit upon the throne and rule and reign in all of his glory. Thy kingdom come, Lord. That's what the disciples are praying. That's what it means here. Not only, Lord, come in your power now. We want that now. But the whole creation groans. You read it in Romans 8. The trees, the mountains, the soil, all creation, all inanimate objects groan. We groan because we're trapped in this body right now. Oh, God, help us tonight. The disciples prayed, thy kingdom come. And then in this, and I'm laying a foundation tonight, and we're going to go over, deal with it some next week, Lord willing. And the disciples talked about their physical needs here. Thou will be done. Give us, Lord, our daily bread. See, There's so much depth here, and I'm gonna gloss over a little bit of this now. We'll get back into it. Let me go back. You can keep that up. I'm gonna go back to Matthew 6. I got a couple of things I want to bring out tonight. Bear with me. Disciples are praying, thy kingdom come. They're praying, God, your will be done. Then their physical needs. God, give us our daily bread, forgive us of our debts, we forgive our debtors. Let me tell you something. I want you to hear this. Matthew 6, 13, he said, and lead us not into temptation. I wrote this down. I loved it. I saw it. I don't know who to give credit for it. I didn't write it, but I wrote it down. It says, salvation delivers us from the penalty of sin. The return of Christ will remove the presence of sin. But while we're here, the best of us, and I won't include myself in this, but the best of y'all, those of y'all out here tonight that are sold out and you're plugged in and you're praying and fasting and you're studying and reading and meditating on the Word of God and you're a seasoned, solid, mature Christian, you still got to pray this way. Lord, deliver us. You going through something, you've been through something. Lord, don't lead me not into temptation. Man, I'm going to tell you, listen, I don't care who they are. I don't care how dignified, how sold out they are. Every man, woman in this building, every man and woman that's ever lived is susceptible to temptation of some sort. You say, oh, Brother Bateman, boy, you get the goods, you won't. No, why did he tell them to pray this way? Lord, lead us not into temptation, Lord, but deliver us from evil. Matter of fact, in the original manuscripts, it says to deliver us from the evil one. Lord, you know that devil's out there. He's out to steal, to kill, and destroy. He's out there wrecking havoc, wreaking havoc on all of the society, the world that we live in. Lord, give me the strength to live for you today, holy and separate and sanctified, that I can walk right, talk right, live right, look right, act right. You just didn't get, God didn't give you something one time and you'll never have any more problems again. See, just like that running over that sign today, Lord, deliver me from the temptation to do that. About the time I would have done it, there'd been some good Christian person say, who is that? And at least I won't drive in the church van. Amen. The disciple said, deliver us from the evil one. You say, well, disciple said, teach us to pray. Boy, you know why they needed that? They need to have the understanding. You know why? Because in just a little while, Peter's going to deny Christ. The closest ones around him, if you don't think you can be tempted, look at his disciples. Thomas said, I'm not going to believe it unless I see it. Peter, Lord, I'll go with you even to death. The Lord looked at him and said, I'm going to pray for you because the devil desires to sift you as wheat. Anybody ever knows what? Anybody in here besides me? I know we do. Anybody in knows the attack of the enemy can be fierce? David Wilkerson is one of my heroes of the faith. Just one of the greatest men of God. I never got to meet him, and I wish I'd have took the time to we talked about going to Times Square Church and heard him preach. I just never done it. I wish I would have. But I'll never forget, he was writing in one of his newsletters. Anybody get his newsletters? Yeah, a lot of hands going. A great man of God. Great man of God. And if you ever hear me preach something, you said, I seen that in that newsletter, I'll say, you're right. But he was hosting an event. And maybe you saw this in this newsletter. It was years ago. I've been receiving them almost 30 years. And, of course, the dear man's passed now. Still get them, but from different other authors. But he was saying that he had this great man of God with him that was going to be preaching before this massive audience. Great holiness preacher. He wouldn't name his name. And he said, as they were sitting on the platform moments before he was to get up and preach, not Brother Wilkerson. Brother Wilkerson is telling the story of this older preacher, 80-some-year-old preacher. He leaned over on the platform and took him by the arm, and he said, Brother Wilkerson, pray for me. The enemy is attacking my mind. Every wicked and evil and lustful thought is flooding my mind. I want you to let that sink in a minute. Here's an 80-year-old great man of God, whoever he was. And he had to be a great man if Brother Wilkerson said he was. Sitting on the platform, getting ready to preach to thousands of people, and the enemy is attacking his mind. You know why? Because the devil don't care. Now, I know every one of y'all has always had pure thoughts when y'all were in church. I understand. That's never happened to me like what Brother Wilkerson said that. But it just goes to tell you, that's why the disciples say, Lord, teach us to pray. Sister Ellen, come on back. I'm going to stop here. And I'm going to go more in depth in the Lord's Prayer. I want you to read. Don't get you meditate on it. But I want to do something tonight. I ask God, let there be a spark that will ignite in this building tonight. I love what Sister Jennifer said, that we just don't come here to go through the motions on Wednesday night. And I like what Brother Larry said when he talked about knowing that our name, and he sang about our name being written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. In order to get there and stay there and be faithful to God, you're going to have to pray. You're going to have to seek God. You say, well, if you don't pray, you can't make it to heaven. I say you better pray. I know a lot of people. I know preachers, friends of mine, Pentecostal preachers, that are out in the world now. I could take you to one, and I wouldn't. I stopped by to see him years ago after he backslid. He pastored and evangelized, a great man of God, great preacher. I knocked on the door, and he let me in. He said, "I want to tell you something, Gary, while you're here." He said, "I'm selling drugs, and I got cocaine in the house." And my first thought was, "Boy, I better get up out of here." Tears in his eyes. I said, "Well, brother, I want to pray with you. I just want to tell you I love you and I'm concerned about you." He said, "Well, God ain't give up on me yet." He said, "I still feel him from time to time. But I'm telling you where this man was started backsliding at, it's where everybody backslides at, is in a prayer closet." He said, "Wait a minute. You backslide because you don't go anymore or you don't have one. Come on now. If you want to stay strong in the Lord, you want to hear those words, enter into my good and faithful servant." I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm not trying to. I wish I could scare you. I wish I could. I wish I could frighten you into a systematic, consistent, persistent, daily prayer. And I didn't even get through hardly any of my text in Matthew. It said, at the end of that, it says, "Seek and you'd find. Knock and it'd be open. Ask and it'd be given." Would you stand? Another one of my favorite preachers said this, and I borrowed it from him. I say it often myself. A man or a woman is no greater than their prayer life. You hear me? Consistent, persistent, daily prayer moves us closer to God, and God moves on our behalf. I want you to bow your heads. We're going to make an altar right where we are tonight. Would you ask the Lord right where you are? Teach us to pray. Teach me to pray, God. Birth inside of me, God, a holy fire and desire. Talk to other ministers.